Welcome to Cancer Conversations. I'm your host, Erica Matthews. I am a wife, mom, and wellness coach. I understand the trauma of getting a cancer diagnosis and the intense battle a person instantly steps into. This podcast is all about learning how to overcome adversity and how activating faith plays a key role in the outcomes we want to have. Each week, I will be bringing you education and inspiration, as well as interviews with other fellow warriors. Get ready to be empowered in your faith, mindset, and your health. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome to another episode of Cancer Conversations. I have a great guest with us today. And I met his wife recently, and her and I connected on Facebook, and her and I are very like-minded, and she started sharing a little bit about her husband's story. And so I said, oh my gosh, this is a very fascinating story. Do you think that he would want to be a guest on my show? And she said, yes. So here we are, and I'm going to introduce Glenn Carver to you. So Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Erica. So pleased to be here and to meet you through my wife. And that's how these things happen. Some are just divine connections.
Right. Yeah, totally divine. Okay. Well, I'm so excited to hear the depth of your story because I only know, you know, little bits and pieces. So take us back to COVID time. Let's start there.
Yeah. So Erica, I've been on an amazing journey the past couple of years. It is literally a miracle I'm talking to you right now. It's literally a miracle I'm alive, praise God. But I am. So let's go back to early the morning of August 15th, 2021. My wife noticed, well, let's back up a little bit. She had COVID the week before me, and I didn't know at the moment that I had contracted it from her. We were separated in our sleeping pattern. She was sleeping upstairs in our bedroom. I was sleeping downstairs on the couch, and I wasn't in the doghouse. But early that morning, that Sunday morning, she heard from upstairs. She heard me downstairs making these really loud, wheezing, exhaling noises, and it woke her up. And she thought I was having some type of nightmare. So she came out into the hallway and looked over the banister, and she yelled, Glenn, are you okay? And I didn't come to. I was making these heavy exhaling noises. And she said, which is very peculiar, I had my hands stretched out in front of me like I was playing this virtual piano, which was kind of odd. So she surmised that something was not right. She came down, and she shook me and tried to get me to come to, and I wasn't there. Nobody was home. And so she, in her good sense, determined that she needed to get me to the ER, which she did. She somehow got my dead weight off the couch, through the garage, into the car, and took me to the hospital, the emergency room, about 12 minutes north of us. And she admitted me, and they put me in a wheelchair to take me back to be assessed. She went to park the car. And by the time she got back, I was already being treated, and she could not see me for quite some time. I was quickly diagnosed with COVID double pneumonia, because anybody can do single pneumonia. So I did double pneumonia and a blood oxygen level of 45. And I didn't know what that number meant at the time, Erica, but 90 is low. 45 is absolutely life-threatening.
Wow.
We're talking potential cognitive damage, potential brain damage. I mean, you're hanging on by a thread. So first miracle was that I survived that day. If Lisa had overslept that morning and not caught me in that situation, I could have died in my sleep. So they quickly admitted me into the ICU and began their treatments. And it's funny, I don't know if it was that afternoon or the next morning, I asked one of the technicians, you know, how long do you think I'm going to be here? Because in my mind, positive Glenn, I'm going to get a couple shots and I'm going to get some oxygen. I'm going to be back home. carrying on my life as usual. And this this female nurse said, well, you're probably going to be here at least a couple weeks. And I thought, oh my God, a couple weeks? I can't be here a couple weeks. I've got a life to live and a business to run. I cannot be here a couple weeks. That was just unimaginable to me. Well, 96 days later, I left the ICU.
Wow.
And the things that transpired over those 96 days are just unbelievable. I mean, 2 weeks into the stay, my upper colon burst. I was internal bleeding, headed towards sepsis. Sepsis quickly leads to death. I had 18 inches of my upper colon removed. And after that, emergency surgery, was in a 3-week coma, or a medicated nap, as they like to say. And that was when things were really, really sketchy, touch and go, as to whether or not I was going to survive, come out of that coma. And that was really when it was the toughest on Lisa, because I was in gaga land. I mean, I was on all kinds of drugs and having wacky dreams. I didn't remember anything about the experience, except when I finally came out. So miracle one was surviving August 15th. Miracle number two was surviving that medicated nap, that coma. And then, surviving the intense protocols from the medical industrial complex, including remdesivir.
Oh.
Yes. What I consider an evil drug that very quickly is conducive to kidney failure. And I experienced a lot of, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask, so they gave you the remdesivir?
Oh yeah. And that was pushed down. You know, that wasn't just a hospital protocol. That was pushed down from the powers that be.
Yeah. I've heard.
That's a big rabbit hole, but you know, praise God, I survived remdesivir, because it was not good. I endured significant kidney dialysis, was on it for weeks. And, just one of those things that, the hospitals thought it was good. They were taking direction from what they were told from whoever mandated remdesivir as a treatment for COVID. Mm-hmm. My wife, Lisa, as you know, she's been a health coach for quite a long time. And she was adamant about getting me on ivermectin, et cetera. And it was just shot down. It was just not an option. We had to stick to their protocol. So, you know, fortunately, remdesivir didn't kill me either, because I think remdesivir alone killed a lot of people in the ICU during the COVID flare-up. So let's fast forward to October 16th, 2021. I'd been in the ICU now for 2 months. You can imagine that you've had your hospital time, Erica, but yep. This time I've been laying in an ICU bed for 2 complete months. And early in the morning of October 16th, 2021, I went code blue. Code blue means all hands on deck. Somebody is about to die.
Oh.
Now, through the process, I had been fully intubated. I had a full tracheostomy. So I was on full breathing support through this. Fortunately, I came off of assisted oxygen. But on the morning of October 16, 2021, my tracheostomy came off of, or the ventilator rather, came off of my tracheostomy, and I stopped breathing. And very shortly after that, my heart stopped beating. And one of the techs across the hall from my room, fortunately, my room was right across from the nurse's desk, and she was monitoring data on the screens. And she noticed a very peculiar number on the monitor, and that number was 45, that number that I mentioned earlier. So she walked over to my room, peeked in the window, and she saw one of my monitors that read 45, and she didn't think that number was right. At that moment, my all-time favorite ICU nurse, Lucas Urrea, former Army medic, was walking out of one of his patients' rooms, and this technician yelled to Lucas, this number, this monitor says 45. And he's thinking, nothing in that room, no monitor should say 45. So he sprinted down the hall, came in my room, assessed my status, quickly hit the code blue alarm. And then he immediately began compressions, three series of compressions. Thank God he was an Army medic, and he was very familiar with CPR and how to save lives. But he hit the code blue alarm, started initial compressions on me. He told me, Erica, he said he saw something that he had never seen before. He had seen his share of death on the battlefield in Afghanistan. He had seen his fair share of death in the ICU during the height of COVID. But he said, when I walked into your room, Glenn, your eyes were rolled back into your head, your tongue was sticking out, and you were this bizarre gray color, a color that I've never seen before. And it wasn't a good gray. So he began first round of compressions. Nothing happened. By this time, all the doctors and nurses were on me, like a Green Beret team, as Lucas called it, a code blue, technical code, meaning it was perfect. And Lucas continued his compressions of CPR, and they quickly injected drugs in me to get my heart beating again, because my heart had flatlined, as in not beating anymore. But praise God, they brought me back. They brought me back to life on the morning of October 16, 2021. So when I say praise God, Erica, I'm serious. I mean, there are several times during that ICU stay that I could have died. Oh. And statistically, I should have died. Statistically, I should not be talking to you right now.
Oh, 100%. I can absolutely see God's miraculous hand in sparing you and keeping you alive. He must have mighty plans for you, because this is, I've actually never heard a story like this, like personally, you know? Wow.
Well, I had never either. And it's surreal to this day that it's coming out of my mouth and it's about me.
Yeah.
I am a speaker at my core, and I've always wanted a really big story. And now I've got one. I didn't want one this big.
Yeah.
But I've got it. And yes, I do agree. I believe, I know that God spared my life for a bigger purpose. And that is unfolding as we speak. Mm. So that's just chapter one of the story. Chapter two is what brought you and I together, which is my cancer diagnosis. So I got out of the, after 4 months in the hospital, three in the ICU, one in outpatient rehab, to relearn how to walk, because I had lost all ability to almost move from critical illness myopathy, or what's called, you know, atrophy. In layman's terms, I'd lost 50 plus pounds. I was literally a rag doll, and I had to go to outpatient therapy to relearn how to walk. Mm. So get out of the hospital, December 8th, 21, in time for Christmas. Fast forward a couple months to February of 2022. Oh, by the way, my emergency colon surgery left me with a colostomy bag, which was supposed to be temporary 90 days. But I went in for a colonoscopy, only the second in my life, on February 2nd of 2022, to make sure everything was copacetic to schedule my reversal surgery. And they found a mass in my rectum. And 2 days later, February 4th of 22, got the call that you've received and that nobody wants to receive, is that you've got cancer. So I got a rectal cancer diagnosis on February 2nd of 2022. So the ICU was the uppercut. The cancer diagnosis was the right hook, but I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm healing in my chosen path. And we'll get into that next, but you know, just praise God I'm here.
Yeah.
Truly.
Wow. So were you just in utter shock? Like, Lord, I can't take another massive trial. This is too much for me, you know, to carry. Like, where were you and mind-wise?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And actually, truly, my mindset was the complete opposite. When I got the diagnosis, I did not freak out at all. I did not go into a state of fear. I did not go into a state of anxiety. Because I knew, this is my rationale, if God spared my life in that ICU, why would he have me die a year or two later of cancer? That just made no spiritual sense to me.
Yeah.
So when I got the diagnosis, it was like, okay, yeah, this sucks. There's nothing fun about a cancer diagnosis, but this is just another hurdle. We're going to get through this somehow, some way. I'm extremely mentally strong. That's one of the main things that got me out of the ICU when just about everybody died. When I say everybody, I'm not exaggerating for effect. The numbers are stunning as to how many people died in the ICU who went through the whole COVID protocol like I did and left outside of a body bag. And if you want to hear an incredible perspective, I've got my own podcast, you know, called Advantage of Adversity. And I interviewed Lucas Urrea, and he gave his perspective of what I just told you, Erica. But if anybody wants to watch that, you can go to YouTube. It's Advantage of Adversity, Lucas Urrea, U-R-R-E-A. And he gives his account of everything I just shared with you. And he says, it's just hard to imagine that he's talking about me. He said in the 2.5 years, he spent 9 months on the battlefield in Afghanistan, treating people from unimaginable injuries. He spent 2.5 years in the ICU during the height of COVID. And he said, Glenn, in the 2.5 years that I was in that ICU, I saw 3 people go through the whole COVID protocol, including remdesivir and intubation and tracheostomy. I saw 3 people leave that ICU outside of a body bag. And if that's not humbling, if that doesn't make you praise God, nothing will.
Wow.
So when I got the diagnosis, I think my confidence in why I survived helped me know that this was, another big hurdle, but we're going to get through this. We are going to get through it, no doubt in my mind.
Amazing. And look at you now.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I am not out of the woods. I'll be completely transparent. I still have a tumor in my colorectal, in my rectum, but I'm alive. Last Sunday, February 2nd, was the 2-year anniversary of my diagnosis. I'm here. I'm well. I'm healing. And Lisa and I, my wife, by the way, who has become a certified cancer coach throughout all this, She has dug in. She has jumped into this cause, this mission, if you will, like no other human being I've ever seen. And we just got a really good nudge early on. I mean, I've got a port in my chest right here because I was supposed to start chemo in March of 21. And we got the nudge just in time to say, pause. No, we're not doing chemo, because we're absolutely convinced that in the physical state that I've been in, after 96 days in the ICU, chemo would have killed me.
Yes.
As it does a lot of people before cancer does.
Yes. 100%.
So, yeah.
Well,
so I
was just going to say, like, that alone, I'm like clapping, cheering you on, because most people don't listen to the nudge. I know God gives nudges. You know, There's so many people, I believe, if they would literally seek the heart of God and look for that nudge, I bet he would nudge them to not do chemo. I really believe that.
I do too. So you and I are on the exact page when it comes to our healing modalities.
Yep.
My mantra from day one has been, once we passed on chemo, first of all, I decided I'm going to be the most positive person who's ever been diagnosed. And I try to maintain that daily. I am human. I have my off days, but I decided my healing trifecta, my healing trinity, is faith, mindset, and nutrition.
Love that.
And I believe that's right in line with you.
Yep.
So we just totally overhauled my dietary regimen. I'm whole food, plant-based, no sugar, no dairy, very, very little animal protein, which pains me because I was a carnivore. I did go to Mexico in May of 22 for an entire month for alternative treatments to build my immune system as opposed to tearing it down like chemo or radiation. Some people know, but not all people. Yeah, I went to Verita Life in Tijuana.
Okay.
I'd had a friend who went there. And there are many wonderful, wonderful clinics and hospitals south of the border. You've just got to do your own research. But you know, those clinics are not going to heal you of cancer in 2, 3, or 4 weeks, but they build your immune system. Fact is, chemo is literally poison.
Yeah.
It is a derivative of mustard gas from World War II.
Yes, 100%.
I'm sure you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we just decided, that, you know, I'm all in. I'm all in on God, my faith, my mindset, and my nutritional protocol. Interesting story. After I got out of the hospital, I still have some post-COVID neuropathy, some slight numbness in my feet. And I went to a wellness center here in Metro Atlanta looking for some treatments. And a really, really wise chiropractor, very educated, very in the know about holistic. I informed him shortly after I was diagnosed. I said, "Doc, I've been diagnosed. I'm not sure what we're going to do yet." But he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "Well, at some point in the future, Glenn, you're going to come to a fork in the road." And I think this is huge for your listeners who have been diagnosed. You're going to come to a fork in the road, and you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to choose the conventional path of chemo, radiation, and surgery, or you're going to choose the holistic path. And quite frankly, that kind of scared me. I didn't know if I had the guts. I didn't know if I had the courage to say no to the medical industrial complex and all the doctors who know everything, right?
Right.
So
Link.
I'll never forget that day. And, you know, thank God, got the nudge. I've developed the faith, developed the courage, and, you know, what we've learned about cancer the past year and a half or 2 years has just been, it's been unbelievable. It's been an unbelievable journey.
Definitely. So would you say like all the different healing modalities, and I kind of want to get into that because I know listeners are going to want to know, but would you say that it's actually been shrinking the tumor? Because obviously something's working because it's not growing, right?
Well, I would say I'm stable.
Okay.
I would say I'm stable at the moment. I'm about to tee up a lot of new alternative treatments, so we can talk about those. Based on the scans I've had, I don't have a conventional doctor. Mm-hmm. I do not go to a conventional doctor, specifically an oncologist, because I know what their narrative is going to be.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yep.
They're going to push chemo. That's all they know. That's what they've taught. They've been trained by the pharmaceutical industry. That's their standard of care. That's their wheelhouse.
Hey, I want to pause from today's episode and talk about an immune system molecule that has certainly changed my life, but is making a lot of waves out in the world. And strong immunity is my passion, and I truly believe that every single person needs to be using this molecule. It activates your natural killer cells. It makes your immune system 437% smarter. It kills cancer cells, and its main job is to help your body recognize a threat and then respond to it. Now, one of the great things about this molecule is if your body doesn't recognize where the problem is, it can't certainly fight it. So it's like this molecule points out where the problem is so it can effectively fight it. So if you are interested in what this molecule could do for you, go ahead and message me at hello@ericamatthews.co. All right, let's get back into today's episode.
So, you know, I've done, you know, going back to Mexico, I did a ton of high-dose IV from vitamin C to curcumin to resveratrol to just a laundry list of IV therapy designed to boost your immune system, local heat therapy. Now, I'm stage 4. That means there's been some level of metastasis, and that metastasis was to my liver. So I did heat therapy on my rectum, on my liver. I did dendritic cell therapy, a lot of full body heat therapy that raises your body heat almost to a feverish level. Fevers are actually good. That's your body's natural way of telling your white blood cells to kick it up and get in gear. Mm-hmm. I've done some ozone therapy that I'm about to start actually tomorrow again. I did some last year, about to start that again. I'm starting mistletoe treatment, which is supposed to be exceptionally good for colorectal cancer. I'm going to start EVOX, which is a energy healing modality. I've spent many hours in a hyperbaric chamber. I do have a mental coach. I have a mental coach on cancer healing, a gentleman who's been a survivor 26 years. So yeah, we're cranking it back up. Last year was very, I'll be very transparent. Last year was very challenging financially. And all these, you know, it's unfortunate, all of these natural alternative treatments are out of pocket, right?
Right. Ugh.
You want to go get chemo and radiation, it's cancer, it's covered by insurance. You want to pay for it yourself. I mean, my trip to Mexico was $40,000 out of pocket.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it is unfortunate because, I mean, even low dose chemo, which is called IPT, which is what I did.
Yes.
And it's
I did some of that.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. So it's, you know, all about it. But I mean, even that's $3,000 a week that you have to pay. So to make your experience less harsh on your body, they don't pay for that, but they'll pay to poison you, to kill you. I mean, it's terrible. And I don't know if you know who I think his name is Charles Majors, but he said, you can't poison yourself into health. This is a law. But yeah, that's, you know, we've been so conditioned to hear, which is why I'm bringing you on. I know you don't have your full healing yet, but it's evident you're going to. I know you're tenacious. You won't stop until you get it. But you're beating the odds, you know, already. And just like you said, you listen to the nudge, and that's the most important thing. So,
yes. Yes, I did. You got to listen to your gut. Listen to God if you're a believer.
Yep.
And go with me. You know, cancer diagnosis is an extremely personal situation. I know people who have healed from cancer with chemo. So I'm not saying don't do chemo. I'm just saying educate yourself as quickly as possible. If you or anyone you know gets a diagnosis, a friend of mine's wife healed from pancreatic cancer, which is a tough one.
Wow.
Through 18 rounds of chemo.
Oh.
It's like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's rare.
So, you know, as you know, it's very rare. As you know, the cancer industry is massive. It's extremely profitable. Chemotherapy is extremely profitable for the oncologist. I mean, these oncologists, from what I've studied and learned, they can make over 50% of their income, their annual income from chemotherapy. It's the only drug class, like a street drug, that you can sell low, buy low, and sell high, you know, like cocaine.
Wow.
So much to learn. It's mind-boggling. And, you know, one thing that incenses me, it's anybody in a white coat who has the gall or audacity to play God and put a timestamp on someone else's life.
Same.
I mean, I'm kind of out there on this one, but I believe that some of these people should be charged with crimes against humanity. And
yeah.
Here's why. I mean, Proverbs 18:21 says life and death reside in the power of the tongue. That is an absolute fact. That's scripture. That's quantum physics. Call it what you want, what you believe. I mean, the mind creates the body, what you believe. If you haven't read The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton, PhD, it's fascinating. But we literally can think our way into life or death. And if a doctor, a trusted medical doctor, tells somebody who isn't mentally strong that they have 3 to 12 months to live, they might buy that prognosis and in fact die. It happens all the time. So you've got to develop mental toughness during a cancer diagnosis.
I love that you're saying that because it actually just happened to one of my friends recently. She did the treatment for stage 4 breast cancer and then was able to ring the bell. She's clear of cancer, did, you know, surgery and then like 30 rounds of radiation. So pretty intense and toxic on the body. So she thought she was, you know, could go on with her life. And then literally in less than 6 months, it came back with a vengeance and moved to her brain. And so she reached out to me, but, you know, it was kind of at that point a little too late, but she went to MD Anderson and they basically told her that there was nothing they could do. And they did give her an expiration date. And I tried everything I could to tell her, don't come into agreement with a prognosis. That's the last thing you want to do. But literally she did. And they gave her 3 months to live. And she, that's what happened. She came into agreement with it and she did die in 3 months. And it's just so awful. And then I've heard the opposite. People that are given a death sentence, you know, and they say, oh no, you don't get to tell me when my life is up. God is the only one who gets to tell me.
Absolutely.
And they stand up and they don't buy into that crap and they go on to live. And I had a woman recently I talked to, she went on to live 30 years later and died of something completely different than cancer. So it's like, just like you said, it's truly the words are really life-giving or death-creating. And it's so powerful what you believe. So I love that you said that. And I think that is why you're doing so amazing, because you have like this faith that's incredible. Now, were you always this, like full of faith and positivity, or did you learn this?
Well, that's another great question. I've always been very positive. A lot of that came from my father. A lot of it has been learned from the thought leaders that I'm 56. I've been studying the great thought leaders since I was 21. Mm. I've always had faith. I've always believed in God at some level, but nothing. This experience has moved the needle off the charts for me. Mm. And that's really why I believe God spared my life in ICU, and why he will, and why I will be healed.
Yeah.
Is because I've got one phenomenal testimony to give.
Yeah.
For the rest of the days of my life, you know, before all this happened, one of my favorite affirmations, I mentioned earlier, I am a speaker at my core. That's what I love to do. I think that's what God put me on earth to do. So probably 4 years ago, I came up with an affirmation that says, I will be speaking on an international stage at 100 years of age. Wow. The fine print is, without drooling or wearing a diaper. So, you know, you've got to have a vision for your life. You know, I'm not going to say I'm Viktor Frankl, who wrote the landmark book, Man's Search for Meaning, because he survived the concentration camps of the Holocaust. But our stories are parallel in the ways we both had a vision for passing through this adversity and living to tell the story and help other people. And there's going to be a chapter in my book called The Advantage of Adversity. And that one of the chapters is called The Wall of Hope. And when I was in the ICU, laying in bed for 3 months, early on, my wife, Lisa, and my sister, Carol, put on the wall right in front of me, this blank wall, covered that wall with scripture and motivational content and pictures of family and pictures of my dogs, just envisioning, just brainwashing myself every day that, yeah, I'm going to get through this. It may suck right now, but I'm getting through this and I'm going to live to tell about it. And I'm going to get through cancer and live to tell about it. Mm-hmm. And I've also declared that I'm going to stand on a stage in front of a very large group of people and declare that I healed from stage 4 cancer with faith, mindset, and nutrition.
I love that. I love that you're declaring that, because you're like speaking your vision out. And I love that you said that it's all about the vision, right? So I think people, when they get a diagnosis, they're just going through the motions and there's, you know, dealing with all the fear and the what ifs and all of that, that they don't even think about like creating a vision, right? And so I love that, because it is important to believe bigger and believe that you are going to cross the finish line and you are going to overcome and be able to help so many people with your story. So could you talk about that for a second? Like, for somebody listening in that is really struggling right now with, they're dealing with cancer, maybe they're not getting great results. What would you say to somebody, like, how would they create a vision for getting to the other side?
Yeah, well, I'd do a couple things. I would literally write out what your life, and hey, I'm working on this right now. I am human. I'm fallible. I'm working on it as we speak. But I would suggest what I'm being coached to do is feel the emotion. Feel the emotion of what it's going to be like to be fully healed.
and embrace that. I mean, that's scripture, that's quantum physics as well. I'm a big fan and student of Dr. Joe Dispenza. I went to two of his retreats in 2022, and he says, feel the emotion prior to the event. Feel the emotion prior to the experience. You know, Joel Osteen says, thank God in advance. So feel the emotion of what it's going to be like to be healed. How are you going to feel? How are you going to act? What is your life going to be like? What are you going to be doing with your life? How are you going to contribute? How are you going to serve other people with your story? And just know, because knowing is beyond believing. I've learned that recently as well. It's one thing to believe. It's one thing to know. You've got to absolutely know that you're going to heal. There's a purpose for your life. You will live that purpose. And that's how you manifest reality. That's how I'm a big believer on speaking things into existence. I speak what I know is going to happen in my life. And I loved one of your, I don't know if it was your first podcast, your story, but you put your hand up to an oncologist, I believe. You said, nope, you're not going to speak death over me. I speak life over me. Nobody has the right to speak death over me. And you've got to speak life over yourself.
Yes.
Because what we say inside our head or in the physical world with our tongue is powerful. What we say can kill us or it can heal us literally.
Yeah, 100%. I've seen that in my own life. I've seen that in other people that I've interviewed as well that are to the other side, like, you know, even doing it naturally. And even people who have chosen, you know, to do chemo and all that. The mind is so powerful. And, you know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that I love. And I would butcher it if I said it, but it kind of goes along with what we're talking about. And if you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, you're right. So whatever you believe, you're right. It's true. So it's powerful.
Well, here's a personal story. It's not cancer related, but it's directly relative to this conversation. In my early 30s, I had a really good friend. We were both single and out partying in Atlanta and, you know, chasing women, things that guys do in their single days in Atlanta. And we'd had a few beers and he said to me, we're out having a great time. I mean, nobody's sad. Nobody's depressed. We're having a great time. And he said to me, Glenn, I'm going to die when I'm 57. I was early 30s. He was mid 30s. I said, Rob, what did you just say? And he said, he almost chuckled. He said, yep, I know it. I'm going to die when I'm 57. And kind of blew my mind. I said, what are you talking about, dude? Why would you even say that? Well, lo and behold, he got liver cancer, cirrhosis, because he was a heavy drinker. Mm. And he died, Erica. And guess how old he was when he died?
57. Wow.
He had been saying it for 20 years. He created that reality.
Yeah, right.
So
your
proclamation can heal you or kill you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love that we're talking about this because our words really do create our reality. And I want people listening in to really take the bull by the horn and begin to rise up in this area, especially if they haven't been. If they have been allowing, you know, a diagnosis or a prognosis or even, you know, sometimes the way we feel, right? If we're super sick, that can bring in a depression, right? That can bring in a hopelessness, a spirit of despair. And so it can be hard to have like that mindset like you and I have and what we're talking about here. But that's even more so when we need to activate literally with our words. I'm struggling right now, but I know I'm getting to the other side. And I thank you, God, in advance for that, or whatever, you know, affirmation they want to say. It's very important. It's very important.
It's hugely important. I would recommend to further answer your question to anybody who's been diagnosed and struggling, have a large list of affirmations that start with I am.
Yeah.
You want to state in the present moment, not in the future. Not I'm going to heal, I hope to heal, I wish I heal. No, I am healed.
Yeah.
And I know that can be difficult. That can be a little bit of a mind trick, but Glenn, I'm not healed. I'm suffering. But you've got to speak that. You've got to speak your own healing into existence. Pray to God. Trust in God. I mean, I've totally surrendered. I've literally surrendered all this to God. You know, I'm here because he spared my life. Mm. So yeah, I feel like I'm the guy at the World Series of Poker in Vegas, and I pushed all my chips in. You know, $100,000, $1 million, whatever. I've pushed more into the middle than that. I've pushed my life in to the middle. I'm betting my life on my faith and my mindset. Mm. And God willing, I'm making the right decision and I'm healed.
Yes. And I say you are healed as well. So I'm curious, you know, you said you had a port. Do you get that cleaned at all?
Well, I haven't much. And I've kept it in because I use it for IV treatments. I've had no issue. So I'm probably a little bit negligent in that regard. I haven't had it cleaned on a regular basis, but I've had no issues. It will be used again tomorrow when I restart some ozone therapy. But fortunately, I haven't had any issue with it. And I could probably be better about having it cleaned on a regular basis or flushed out.
Yeah.
But fortunately, knock on wood, no issues.
They had told me if I want to keep my port in, because I also have one in, it's just easier for all the different healing modalities as well.
Of course.
Yeah. So they had told me that I need to have it cleaned every 4 to 6 weeks to prevent infection. And then I also, you know, get my numbers as well. So yeah, that's what they told me. So I go actually every month just to kind of keep it, you know, it's good feedback as well. My just getting my tumor markers, but that's sure. The only reason I use my conventional doctors, and they know they can't boss me around. So they're the ones that tried speaking the death sentence over me, palliative care. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't get to tell me palliative care because I won't do chemo. Like, you don't get to talk to me like that. And they don't know what to say because they're not used to people standing up to them.
Of course not.
No.
They're used to people lining up and getting on the chemo conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Well, once again, hey, it works for some people. So it's a very personal decision.
Yeah, but it's. Yeah, the statistics aren't very great, though, especially for ovarian cancer. I've done a ton of research, and I don't know too many long-term survivors. In fact, I've only heard of one, to be honest. Two. And they went on this whole raw food diet. Actually, and she didn't do the chemo. The one person that did the chemo mostly did, you know, kind of like you, the integrative approach as well, and the diet change and all of that. And it's, you know, most of the time, the people that are having the long-term success, they're going to the root cause of why they got the cancer in the first place. They're taking the bull by the horn, like you, with the faith and the mindset, all of that. They're not buying into just, oh, I got to do whatever my Western medicine doctor says. And they're adding in more of that integrative approach. Those are the people. If you're going to do the chemo, add in a lot of this other stuff to make sure that you have that long-term success. Cause you know, it doesn't matter if you get to ring the bell, like my friend, right? You know, she rang the bell, did all that stuff to her body. And then, you know, in less than 6 months, it came back with a vengeance. And so it's not about just getting that cancer-free news for a moment. It's about long-term healing. So
you just brought up a very important topic that I'd like to touch on. You know, every form of cancer has its own unique emotional root.
Yes.
And you've got to get at that emotion. And that's, you know, some of that stems back to childhood. And you know what? What have we been carrying around? What head trash and negative emotions have we been carrying around, even subconsciously, for our entire lives that have created this dis-ease? So I'm working on, and I'm getting coaching around getting to that emotional root. Because if you don't find the emotional root and fix that, chemo, radiation, surgery doesn't touch the emotional root. It can come back with a vengeance.
That's right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Because, you know, that's the other thing is Western medicine does not, you know, talk to you about, well, why do you think you got the cancer in the first place? Instead, you're a victim of cancer. Right? They don't talk about the diet. They don't, you know, all of that. We know that. So I love how like-minded you and I are, Glenn. It's
me too.
Amazing. So I am, I will be praying for you. Seriously, I am going to be cheering you on in just all that you're doing. And I know you're going to have such a powerful testimony. You already do, right? But just even more like the complete healing that the Lord wants to give you. And then I want to have you back on the show when you have, you know, that complete healing. I think that would be so powerful.
That will be awesome.
Yeah. Yay. Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing today and just giving all these nuggets of hope for people, nuggets of truth. It's going to be so good for people to hear this. So is there any last minute thoughts that you have to share with us?
I'll just close with, yeah, I'm super positive, but I'm human. I have my days too. Trust me, I have my days. You got to manage the negative talk in one ear and balance it out with the positive talk on the other ear. But just stay strong. I've got my black bracelet here that says never quit. It's just a daily reminder that I get down the dumps too. I'm human.
Yeah.
But never quit. Embolden your faith. Reach out to God. And just do what you feel your gut is calling you to do for your unique situation.
Yes. Real quickly, what would you say to somebody who's newly diagnosed and they're dealing with fear? A lot of fear, because those are some of the people. I too am a coach. Those are a lot of people that reach out to me, and they speak out of both sides of their mouth, like, you know, because the fear from the doctor and then the fear from their own thoughts. But then part of them is like, but no, I don't feel led to go that way. And so then they're so conflicted. What would you say to deal with the fear?
Yeah, that's an excellent closing question. I would say pause. Stay out of fear, stay out of anxiety, and know this. This is what I'm learning. Cancer is not a death sentence. Cancer is this, and this is out there. Cancer showed up to save our life, not to kill us.
Yeah.
It's a true. Big red warning light on the dashboard.
Yep.
It's saying change, adapt. We're here to save you. And just don't buy into the fear of the medical industrial complex. They've got their narrative. Know that our body was designed to heal. God is the divine healer. You know, I say to myself every day, you know, the eternal power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is coursing through my body and healing me now. The body's miraculous.
Yeah.
If you feed it the right nutrition and supplements and herbs, give your body a chance to heal the way it was created and figure out the emotional root of your diagnosis.
Oh my gosh, such great wisdom. I love that. So good. Well, Glenn, so your podcast, I want to link it in the show notes. So it's called Advantage Adversity.
Yeah, Advantage of Adversity. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
So we lead with video, and then it's on audio and other platforms.
Okay.
But yeah, Advantage of Adversity. And I interview people who have been through significant adversity and in spite of that have chosen to find the opportunity or even the advantage in their adversity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. Well, that's so needed nowadays with just all this doom and gloom out there. And so what a great podcast. I'll have to check it out. So
thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Glenn. I can't wait for people to hear our episode. You have a great day.
Thank you, Erica. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the show. My prayer is that the podcast encouraged you and filled you with hope. If you loved what you heard today and you would like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post it on social media, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at It's Erica Matthews and join my Hope and Healing for Cancer Facebook group. Remember this, anything worth having takes work. See you next week for a new episode.